We're going to be back in Hebrews. It is kids' time, so I want our kids to be dismissed at this time. Hebrews chapter 5, we are continuing because I remember it's always told as a joke among preachers and the such, but I like it. And it's not even really putting preachers in a good light, but still, I like it because of what it communicates. After this preacher preached an exceptionally long message, one of the church members on their way out said, "Brother, that'd have been a great series." And so you don't ever want to leave people with that thought, that that message would have been much better in a series. And so last week, first service made it very clear to me that this was going to be a series, at least a two-parter. And based on what happened in first service this morning, probably be a three-parter. And so emotional intelligence is what we started last week, and we're going to continue that. I basically read off the meat of the message to you last week. We're going to get deeper into that this week. And then that very last point, if you will, C of point number three, we're probably not going to be able, according to first service, to really get into that. So that will probably be next week. With that said, I've got two introductions to today's message. The first introduction, I want to share with you, to some level, a glorified announcement. And so Brother Brad sent this to me today. I knew that we were going to talk about this, but I can't really say it better than how he says it here. And I will expound as we go along. Let me start by saying this, that 20-some-odd years ago, this association, meaning the Merrimack Association, decided that 2.5 hours trip to camp was a little beyond the pale for most of our churches, even though we had done it for years. And you'll never get me to say anything negative about Garwood Church Camp. I've got nothing but positive to say about Garwood Church Camp. With that said, though, our association was offered 67 acres 20 minutes from this church, 20 minutes from Friendship, 20 minutes from First Baptist Potosi, essentially the lion's share of our churches. And even for a church like Westview, it was 2 hours closer to Westview than Garwood. So it was a win-win. And yes, we took it. And as an association, we poured literally probably $1 million-plus into that situation. Excuse me, this church has poured multiple thousands, particular families of this church have poured multiple thousands. I could not be more grateful and thankful. So we are a supporter. We are an absolute supporter of the Merrimack Retreat Center, better known as Jesus Camp. And so we're 1 week away, literally, next Sunday at this time, an hour after this time type thing, Brother Brad and his family and many of you will be preparing and we'll come here and go to church camp, and we'll be there till the following Saturday and the such. And so it's an important time. Well, we haven't had church camp in 2 years because of COVID, and unfortunately, there has, you know, when you don't use something, you lose something. And so because of that inattention, we have had some dilapidation to a little bit of the building and the such, but more than that, we've had some thieving going on. And Dawn and I spent $1,600 in replacing supplies, brooms, soap, you name it, everything that it takes to have camp. Craig and Carolyn McLeider spent $1,900 at Restaurant Depot to replenish our kitchen and such of that nature. So there are some needs there. Now, praise the Lord, this association supports camp. So we're not destitute. I'm not trying to say anything like that. You don't need to bless the pitiful Lord Jesus. We're not asking that. And so with that said, I go back to the lesson of the five pockets. Okay? When it comes to giving, and I'm talking about to believers, when it comes to giving, many of us have more than just the tithe pocket. Now, praise the Lord for that pocket. That is the one that you can go to God's Word and say, every Christian's got a tithe pocket. You are to give 10% of your income to the Lord. And there's an offering pocket that is above and beyond the tithes. And you give that to the Lord per his leadership and the such. But when you just look at giving and how God works in people's lives, there's a lot of times some other pockets. Well, what are those? Well, you see, that's the beautiful thing. Only you know that. Only you know that. And I'll give you this story. There was a lady that I always think of Mandy because she made her living teaching people how to play the piano. She didn't make a lot of money, but she made enough money to provide for her and her household, and she tithed, she gave faithfully, she worshiped regularly at the church, and she had a dream. And that dream was before she went to heaven, she was going to give $10,000 to that church to buy a grand piano to sit on the stage so that they could worship with the best piano made. And on that fateful day, it came. She walked up to her preacher and she handed him a check for $10,000. And she said, "Preacher, I know you're not supposed to designate tithes, and that's not my tithe. I'm designating this offering for a grand piano. I'm asking you, I'm begging you, don't spend it for anything else but a grand piano. And when you in the church deems that it's time to do it, I'll go pick it out if you'll let me." And boy, he was excited. And he told the church was excited. Afterwards, the youth director came up madder than a wet hen. Them youth pastors. Them youth pastors. Bless their heart. "I can't believe that that person didn't just give that to the church because we got so many needs in this area, in this area, in this area, in this area." And that preacher looked at him like he had three heads. And he said, "Sir, you need to learn the lesson of the pockets of five giving." And he goes, "Huh?" She had a pocket for a grand piano. And the Lord filled that pocket and filled that pocket and filled that pocket until it was time to give. You see, she had been tithing and there's no issue there. That money was never going to go to fill in the blank. It was just going to go to a grand piano. And now the church is going to have the best piano made to worship the Lord with. And he got it. He got it. Watch this. If you're out there and you've got a pocket for one of these things that I'm fixing to announce, Lord bless you. If you don't sweat it. Just pray. Just ask God to provide. He does. He will. He always has. And so none of this is leverage. If any of you feel leveraged, that's between you and the Lord. Okay? Here we go. Anyone that would like to make a donation to camp or already has, it will be used in one of these five ways and in this order. Scholarships for students to attend camp. And then he put in parentheses, covered. Because we got some faithful folks here. When Youth Alive come, when camp comes, you always make sure if there's any. I've even had a person tell me. And so if you're that person and you haven't gotten back with, because honestly, I forgot who you were, you got to send it to me in a text or I'm not going to remember it. But hear me. They're covered. Thank you. Thank you for offering. They're covered. Every kid that wants to come to camp that can't afford to come to camp, we've got them covered because of sponsors. Praise God. All right. Number two, money to go towards the purchase of two new ping pong tables for $400 each, totaling $800. They're setting in the retreat center, so they're paid for. But if you would like to defray that cost so that that cost can go to something else, we're giving you that as if you got a pocket for a ping pong table, okay? Clay Bannerman, I'm talking. No, I'm kidding. Kidding. Money that will be, because very few people in here are going to beat Clay at ping pong. I'm telling you right now. He's very good at ping pong. Money that will be used to go for game equipment and building supplies in order to run camp. Amen. Again, to defray costs, the $1,600 that was spent, the $1,900 that has spent. And this is going to be number four, I think. If you would like to donate to camp, simply write a check to Bethel Church and place your cash gift in a green envelope and give it to Brad or Denise. So let's just say that you've got a pocket for this and you feel led. If you write a check, put in the memo, church camp. It'll go to church camp. Or if you specifically want it to go for one of those things that was just listed. Or if you put a cash in a green envelope, put on church camp or Jesus camp, we'll get it to where it needs to go. All right. We are dismissing evening services so that those would normally come or are available to come can meet us out at church camp around 5 p.m. Now, the youth group are not going to get there that early. They're going to go to Taco Bell, and then they'll be out there later. They're going to spend the night tonight. They're going to try to get her all done. they need help. They really do need help. There's a lot of cleaning that needs to be done. And so if you can come help us tonight, that'd be great. But I put a little caveat here because we've done this before, and this is one of the reasons I usually don't put out an all call, because we did that in the association one time and bunches of people showed up. Guess what? We didn't have enough work to go around. And some of them traveled 45 minutes one way. So if 100 of you folks show up tonight and we don't have enough work to go around, I'm begging you, consider it as a beautiful trip in the country. Yeah. And you're going to take in one of the most beautiful, in my opinion, the best scene in Washington County. The best. There is no view better that I know of in Washington County. You can see the Labadee Stacks from the Tabernacle. You can. And so I'm encouraging and asking you to prayerfully consider coming out tonight, so we do not have evening services tonight so that we can do that. We are literally 1 week away. All right, so that's introduction number one. Introduction number two, but this actually goes with the message. So I've shared this before, that 12, 15 years ago, Donna and Ivan, can you remember how long you guys have been coming here? How many years? Can you remember? Donna, can you remember how many years you've been attending here at Bethel? She said 5 or 6, maybe. I was thinking 12. You guys have been here a while. Nine or 10. Okay. So the only reason I'm asking, and I'm sorry, Donna, I should know better than to ask somebody my age or older to remember something. Okay, I apologize. You did your best, and I appreciate that. It was around that time when Ivan and Donna and others showed up here that we've been so grateful and thankful for. I had something heavy. And had nothing to do with those folks. Had something heavy on me one particular Sunday. And after I walked around doing my normal turning on everything and getting everything ready for you guys to show up, I just said this prayer to God before I stepped in to the car to go to Wagner's like I do every Sunday morning. Lord, I need something. I need something. I turned 91, what is it? 99.1, and it was Matt Maher, Rise Up. I had never heard that song before in my life. Church, listen to me. By the time I got back here, I could have taken on hell with a water pistol. I was ready to go. God used that song to let me know that whatever you got going on, Ben, I got it. I got it. And he fired me up. I need that. I'm an emotional person. I need that type thing. Whether or not the message is emotional, I need that emotional energy to share what I feel led and called to share. I needed that, and he gave it to me. Now, please hear me. I have tried to become the person that whether I get what I want emotionally, I can still do what God has called me to do. That's emotional intelligence. And so today, I can't tell you that I sat there and said, Lord, I need something, but I'm telling you, I did. And after I did my rounds, I got in that car, and I started down the parking lot, and this song started playing. I'm just going to read to you a few of the lyrics. Let me get to the top here. There we go. When the best of me is barely breathing, when I'm not somebody I believe in, hold on to me. Lauren Daigle. Now, I can't speak for you, but that woman's got a voice out of this world. And I did something, I did something that I hope and pray you folks don't do. I destroyed my hearing when I was a young person with godless music. And so I don't have the greatest hearing. So when I do want to hear something, I do this. I stopped the car at the entrance. I mean, it's 7 in the morning. Nobody's coming in. I opened the door. I knew what God was doing. I knew that he was standing in front of me, if you will, and he was using Lauren Daigle's voice, and he was singing these words to me. And I walked over to that gigantic oak tree, and we just had a time. Listen to these words. When I miss the light, the night has stolen. When I'm slamming all the doors, you're open. You've opened. Do you do that? Lord's trying to bless us, and we're sitting here slamming them with our emotional unintelligence many times. And he's talking to me. Hold on to me. Hold on to me. Hold on to me when it's too dark to see you. When I'm sure I've reached the end. Hold on to me when I forget I need you. When I let go, hold me again. When I don't feel like I'm worth defending. When I'm tired of all my pretending. Hold on to me. When I start to break in desperation underneath the weight of expectation. Hold on to me. And so we had us a time. And something happened, and I'll find it. It's in here, I promise. There it is. I grabbed that oak leaf. Now, y'all know me. I'll have this lost in just a few days. And that's okay. I've got sets of keys all over Franklin County. It's okay. I lose stuff. But right there at that moment, I needed what that oak tree had for me. Do you know that God spoke trees like that into existence? He spoke them 100 years old. Boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask M.M. Hamlin, did you plant that? Or did you just protect it when you guys, you know, worked out where stuff goes? It's got three prongs on it. I'm not saying trunks. It's got three trunks on it. I didn't know this, but there's a swimming pool in the middle. That's why all them squirrels, that's the country club. They go there and they relax and they frolic. They're having a ball in that oak tree. I picked this leaf. It was the closest one to me. One, two, three, four, five. That type of oak tree will have that type of leaf. Every one of them will have five lobes type thing. Evangelism. Every church ought to have evangelism as one of their most important core values. Worship. Every church should have worship as one of their most important core values. Serving. Every church should have serving as one of its most important core values. It'll come to me. Fellowship. Fellowship. And then lastly, giving. Now, there's other important core values, but when I grabbed this leaf off, that's the first thing I thought of. I counted those lobes, and I thought, the five purposes of the church. Now, he did this morning. I didn't know what all was facing me today, and he's already used this in other applications. You see, he started with a song. And then he led me to his creation. And then this introduction. 28 years, 11 months, 3 weeks ago, I was 1 week removed from dun, 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 dun. Next Sunday, the 18th, is Dawn and I's anniversary. Listen to me. Do you think that everything was sunshine and roses and bluebird singing and hunky-dory, zip-dee-doo-da? No! Land sakes! One issue after another, one discouraging problem after another. On my wedding day, the card that my father-in-law and mother-in-law had graciously given to us, nicer card than we'd ever afford at that time type thing, the window would only roll halfway down. It was 115,000 degrees. It was summer, July the 18th. And I'm going to take my bride to the hotel later. I need that thing to roll up so I can punch the AC. Y'all not feeling my pain. Thank you. Dude, this was a problem. I went to Bobby Bandeman, who was open on Saturdays, praise God. He got her to work. That was just one of those things. I could have let that completely wreck the day. Church, emotional intelligence is important. It's absolutely imperative that you and I learn it. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 4. Yes, I'm sorry, 14. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Listen to it from the ESV. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. James 1:22 through 25 says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, which of course is the word of God, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Give us what we need, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Yes. To catch this up, if you were not able to be here last Sunday, I would absolutely lovingly implore you to go to BethelLoandell.com and watch last week's message, because we're not going to go into the voluminous Webster Dictionary definition of intelligence and emotional. I'm going to give you Ben's version, and then we're just going to dive in. So Ben's version of intelligence based on Webster is one's ability to understand or comprehend. And then emotional, Ben's version, is one's reactions to stimulation, positive or negative. Essentially, this is the sermon in a sentence. Emotional intelligence, being able to navigate and mitigate difficult situations and circumstances with calmness and maturity and effectiveness. Who doesn't need that type thing? Who doesn't want that to be something that explains who they are and how they act? Therefore, emotional intelligence is the maturation process of being able to control one's emotions to not negatively affect others, but also not undervalue anyone either. So in other words, you have the emotional maturity to not overreact when someone comes to you with a burning building type situation, but you also have the emotional maturity to not underreact when someone comes to you with something good and you kind of could care less if you're not careful. Emotional maturity allows you, emotional intelligence allows you to respond properly in either situation. So, intelligent emotion is the controlling of oneself to the benefits of others and the situation. When it comes to emotional intelligence, emotion is another way, possibly a more informative way, to describe a person's level of maturity. So, if you would say that person's emotional intelligence isn't very high, you're indicating that their maturity in the area of emotional control is not very high, and vice versa. So, this is where we got last week, and we were out of time. What are the enemies to emotional intelligence? Now, to the well-initiated, you've been here at Bethel Baptist Church for weeks, months, years. This is well-rehearsed. I'm asking you to ask God to help you to listen again for the first time. If you're newish to us, this may be fresh. But we are not helping you if we don't make sure that you know who your enemies are. You've got three enemies according to Scripture. Now, I usually start with the devil. I'm going to start with flesh today. You have an enemy of your soul, if you will, and it's your soul. You see, we talked about the dominant spirit months ago. The dominant spirit is your regenerated spirit after salvation with God's spirit. Those lines of communication are now open again. Your flesh is the appetites and the urges of your physical body and the mind, will, and emotions reaction to those appetites and urges. It really makes all the sense in the world that someone that has not had or is not availing themselves to a dominant spirit, that they make emotional, unintelligent decisions all the time. Because your appetites and urges are controlling you. The body sees that blackberry cheesecake. And it doesn't want a piece. It wants the cake. Yes. The whole thing. And the body, you're salivating on the inside. And your mind, will, and emotion says, go for it! Go for it! Get a plate! Get a fork! Hide it! Run away! Eat it! Right. Yeah. And then 3 months later, your A1C is 14,000. Yeah, trust me. Your flesh. What does the Bible say about your flesh? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I call it, and we said this in the first service, I call it the Disney World theology. If you follow your heart. Church, no, don't follow your heart. It's desperately and deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? You've got to follow the Holy Spirit. You've got to follow the Word of God. So your flesh is an enemy to emotional intelligence. Number two, the devil. So we're gonna come up with a prayer here, and we've said this before. The onslaught of the devil. The Bible says in John chapter 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come, Jesus says, that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. Man, you know, this world has it all backwards. I don't want to be a Christian because they don't have any fun. The Christians are the ones having the fun because Jesus gives us a life and a life to the full. We can actually remember it. Yeah. And so you and I need to make sure and be good examples of people that are having a ball. And the only way to do that is to follow Jesus. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. So, praise the Lord. He cannot, will not kill any of you because God's not going to give him permission. Watch this. But he can steal and destroy you. He can steal from you your reputation. He can steal from you your happiness. He can steal from you, fill in the blank. And as a result, he can destroy. And you and we can't give in to that. We cannot give in to this enemy of our emotional intelligence. So what about this? The last one, the world system. The confirmation of this world. The Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, this is why we pray every Sunday morning that God would make us a transformational church, because we don't want to be conformed to the world. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now you can say no to your flesh. Now you can teach and help your neighbors say no to their flesh. Now you can be an example to your community, so on and so forth. We've got to have examples of people that can say no to themselves, thereby being an example to others so that they can say no to themselves. Church, our world is dying because people can't say no to themselves. We've got to learn how to do that. And so this is the prayer. Lord, protect me from the onslaught of the devil, the deceitfulness of my own flesh, and the confirmation of this world. I believe that's a prayer that would be worthy to pray every morning. From the onslaught of the devil, the deceitfulness of my flesh, the confirmation of this world. Point number two, results of emotional unintelligence. Now, this is ugly. I'm just going to tell you, it's ugly. I'm begging you guys to listen. If the shoe fits, wear it, and then come up here and repent of it and leave it. If it doesn't, watch this. Resist the urge to say, man, I wish so-and-so was here today. Because the Lord may want you to take this message to so-and-so. You need to prayerfully consider that. Point number one under point number two, results of emotional unintelligence. Uncontrolled anger. Well, Brother Ben, I got anger problems, but I just blacked out. No, you didn't. You made a choice to black out. Church, the moment that you allow the devil or the world or your flesh to convince you that you don't have control, you're done. Well, I know I shouldn't have said that, but no. If you know you shouldn't have said it, you shouldn't have said it. Start there. Repent and make it right. Uncontrolled anger is not allowed in the Christian. Be filled with the Spirit is what the Bible says. Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. Literally, be that puppet with the strings, and God is the one who's controlling you. That is the Spirit-filled life. Uncontrolled anger is a result of emotional unintelligence. Number two, uncontrolled response. And if you'll watch, these build on each other. As a result of uncontrolled anger, you're going to have uncontrolled response. Sayings like this. Well, I gave them a piece of my mind. Well, number one, you probably couldn't afford it. Number two, they probably didn't want it. Number three, they probably didn't listen. And number four, now you've got a pretty serious breach between you and that person. You're saying things you've always wanted to say. Selfish, self-serving words. Words that only are meant to hurt. Church, it's uncontrolled responses that leads to this point number three. A harder work environment. A harder home environment. A harder church environment. A harder neighborhood environment. You see, if you and I don't watch what we say, then we're going to have to deal with the results of what we say. Brad is always faithful to say, choices have consequences. They do. Yeah, you can make that choice, but choices have consequences. So now I got a couple of, I guess they had their coffee this morning because I got a couple of responses from this phrase in first service. It kind of shocked me. Watch this. If you think you have a hard time forgiving, imagine what someone who does not have the Holy Spirit inside of them struggles with. I mean, you've been saved. You've followed the Lord in baptism, most likely. You've been discipled to some level. You know that the Holy Spirit is telling you to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And then you're popping off to somebody at work that doesn't know Jesus? Well, I don't know why they don't like me. Because you gave them a piece of your mind. You know? And so we've got some serious issues here. How about this one? You reap what you sow. Escalation, church, is inevitable. At the workplace, when you're being emotionally unintelligent, escalation is inevitable. Number four. So I remember, we're building inefficiency. So now we've got inefficiency at the house. We've got inefficiency at the church. We've got inefficiency at the workplace because we're being emotionally unintelligent with each other. Nothing or very little gets done when everyone is upset. Can I get a witness? The issues and yours and my upsetness and vengeance become the product. One of the reasons that America has not been as successful as we once were is because our workplaces are so upset at each other, that is now the product. The product isn't the product. And so it's extremely important that we fix this. Number five, earned reputation. You are who they say you are if that's all they see. Now, I'm not telling you that you're not wrong when you say, Brother Ben, I just got into a weak moment there. That's not me. I'm not saying you're wrong there. I'm saying you're not finished. You need to go to that person and you need to tell them, I blew it. That's not me. That's not me. That's the old me. And that's the me when I give into my flesh. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And just hope and pray that they have the ability to forgive you, because that's going to bring peace back to the workplace. That's going to bring peace back to the home place, peace back to the neighborhood. When you and I own our emotional unintelligence and we ask people to forgive us, now we're on the road to getting better. Lastly, strained relationships. I said the same thing this morning in first service. There's actually two more points, okay? Strained relationships. Proverbs 18:9, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. You're going to have to work at it, and you're going to have to give them some time. Number 7, avoidance that leads to loneliness. The end result of selfishness and self-protection, always having to be right, is loneliness. I'm not saying everyone that is lonely is that it's because they have mistreated others. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you mistreat others, loneliness will be one of your crosses to bear. So, man, let's get positive, right? Okay, so here we go. The process. This is the process of emotional intelligence. 3 determinations. Point number 1, and we did cover these last week, but we're going to dive into it today. Outcome is worth the input. Church, say it with me. Outcome is worth the input. Yes, you need to bite through your tongue if you have to. Outcome is worth the input. Yes, you're going to have to die to being right and just get the product done to some level. Yes, you're going to have to die to them understanding where you're coming from. You're just going to have to be emotionally intelligent and do your best to get along with people to get the product done. Now watch this. For Bethel Baptist Church, the product is people. Now, I cannot, and amens rang throughout the building. I can't wait to get to heaven. I'd never tell you his name. Now, Brad may know, but there's a fellow that he's become famous among preachers in our work because this is where, and I think he honestly means this. I'd be a wonderful pastor if it wasn't for my people. You know, Houston, we have a problem because your people are the product. People are the product. Men, women, boys, and girls for the gospel of Christ. Men, and amens rain through. Come on now. I'm trying to get you on the train. Men, women, boys, and girls discipling other men, women, and boys, and girls to disciple other men, women, boys, and girls. That's the product. Apple trees producing apple trees that produce apple trees, if you will. That's the illustration that I always go to. Outcome is worth the input. Now, this is where Preacher Ben got all, you know, bothered and excited in first service, so listen to me. You think the devil's going to stand by and cheer you on for that? You think the world is going to go, man, that I love that church. Man, they're really knocking it out. No, they hate what we're doing. They're not on board if they don't hate what we're doing. I understand why they hate what we're doing. Because we have the audacity to tell them that they're sinners and that they need Jesus or they're going to hell. I get it. I get it. But their very lives depend upon us being faithful to that message. And if they respond to that message, they will be the most grateful people on this planet. Because they loved me enough to tell me something that I didn't want to hear, but that happened to be absolutely accurate. Church, people are our product. And we must be emotionally intelligent when we try to share the gospel with them. Because it's going to be tough. The devil hates us. The world hates us. Our flesh wants to do anything but. This is a funny story. I don't see Lori and Rob here. But I went to a first birthday party for their son, Robert. And I ended up cooking jerk chicken. Anybody in here ever had jerk chicken? Son, that's good stuff. And I'm not saying it because I cooked it. She did all the spices. All I did was put it on the grill. That's good stuff. I'm sitting there talking to a fella. And I'm sharing with him what I do with Boston butts. Sharing with him what I do with steaks and all that jazz. And he looks at me and says, "Where's your restaurant?" I smile. And I said, this is what I tell everybody. If there was no heaven to gain or hell to shine, I'd be doing something else. Church, I'm not trying to be anything but real. I like to do other things. But any and everything else that I would do, none of it compares to helping people to get ready for the jump that's going to last forever. It's the rest of our lives. And so we'll have time to do barbecue and everything else on the other side. And I'm not telling you that you can't do some of that stuff. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that for this God-called pastor, I can't, what would the word be, neglect that calling to do something that I like to do here on earth. Now, if you're not called to pastor a church, watch this, as a Christian, you're still called to share the gospel. You are, and you can't neglect that. And so if God has given you fill in the blank, giftedness and ability, he expects, he wants, he needs you to talk about him while you're doing it. Mandy and Brad, sharing Jesus as they go along. That's what it is. Okay, so outcome is worth the input. Point number two, expect difficulty. He hates you. He absolutely hates you. It's one of those things, and I know I've shared this with you, and I've told it to several people. It's just a common thing. When you guys come to me and you start, I just don't understand why I'm struggling with this. I just don't understand why this is so hard. And I almost like look at you and try to have to lovingly remind you, you have an enemy. He's not doing his job if you're not having difficulties. And watch this, church. There's no one more faithful than the devil to do his. He's going to fight you at every step. So, Merrimack Retreat Center. Tons of money to spend so that we can have camp. Output, outcome is worth the input. It's worth every dime that we have to spend so that those kids can wash their hands. So that those kids can pull a paper towel off the thing and wash. So those kids have a pot to pee in and such of that nature. It's worth all of that. Can I get a witness? Yeah. It's worth all of that to get the opportunity at 7 p.m. to share the gospel to those little boogers. Yeah, you know a few. It is worth it, okay? But you've got to expect difficulty. And I'll say this, and at some point, you got to get positive about it. You really do, or you're going to be like Brother Ben's all the time. Don't do that. That's not advantageous. Okay, here we go. It's point number two, expect difficulty. The three enemies we mentioned earlier are not doing their job if we do not have difficulty in our daily tasks. We are revealing our immaturity and emotional unintelligence if we are not prepared for the difficulties that come on a daily basis. And church, I'm going to tell you, I was unprepared last week. You remember, let's see, it's 2021, so help me, I know the last time this was catastrophe. But 2008 is when I had my hip surgery. So how many years has it been? 13 years. Thank you, Brad. I'll kiss you on the cheek later.
Yes.
Holy kiss. Yeah, that's right. Greet your brothers with a holy kiss, Governor. Here we go. 13 years ago, Brother Ben, in September the 18th, had an accident that broke my wrist, broke my hip. The Sunday morning before that day, I preached this message. Trouble is coming. I did. I preached it. Trouble is coming. And my eyes were this big when that cow walked across the road. And then when the truck hit it, and here comes the back of part of his truck into my truck. I didn't listen to my own sermon. I should went, yep, I knew it. I knew it. No. And so last week I preached this emotional intelligence. The rest of the day, I was emotionally unintelligent. Because of all the issues that the devil threw in my way, of all the issues that my flesh threw in my way, of all the issues that the world, if you will, how they wanted me to respond to those issues. And those issues aren't anybody's fault. It's the devil's fault. It's the world's fault. It's our flesh's fault. Hey, church, say it with me. People are the product. Say it with me. People are the product. So we can't blame them. We can't. It's a trap to do that. The Bible says. It'll come to me. Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities. Okay? So, lastly, and yes, we're going to have to do the same thing so that first service and second service will be on the same thing here. Determination. Meet difficulty with determination. You see, I'm scrolling through here. We don't have time for that. All right? And so, we're going to get into that next Sunday. Next Sunday, so come back. Meet difficulty with determination. Will you stand, musicians? Will you come? I told first service, I got something I'm going to share with you in a couple weeks that's just going to light your fire. You're going to love it. And I'm excited about it, excited about what God's doing. God is working. He's working here. He's working in our association. Juan Fernandez is having a tremendous impact with Hispanic-speaking folks. He's actively seeking Hispanic-speaking folks in the St. Louis area. He's finding them. He's sharing the gospel with them. Some of them are coming to Christ. Now, watch this. One fella, Tom, came to Christ. They started having a discipleship lesson in his house. A tree fell on the house in that storm 2 weeks ago, and they're no longer having the discipleship class because the house got wrecked. Expect difficulty. I'm not blaming the devil for that tree. I'm just telling you, expect difficulty. And so we've got to be prepared for it. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is an invitation. We're inviting you to come. Will you come forward? Maybe you just want to turn this into an old-fashioned altar and seek the Lord, whatever the case may be. Will you come?